Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Wotellison out in the great state of Wisconsin. How are things going out there, buddy?
Things are going well. Another day talking about Packer Victory Monday. So obviously another great day here in Wisconsin, and it broke into the 30s today. So it's beach weather today. Ready to go to the beach with the temperatures that we saw. And you know, it's kind of strange that 30 degrees feels so good, but this time of year, 30 degrees feels so good, especially when you're finished with a day where the temperature is pretty much stayed negative the majority of the day. So things are good. It's warming up. And some NFL football to talk about. Some Pro Bowl rosters announced. Unfortunately, no Mike Daniels. I guess he is an alternate. But Aaron Rodgers, T.J. Lang, HaHa Clinton Dix, among those Packer players that were named. Dak Prescott named as well. So Casey Hayward, too. So, you know, with that, you got some NFL coaching news to talk about. Another coach fired after the game on Sunday. And, you know, talk about the timing of that a little bit. There's two games left in the regular season, and they let the coach go. So get thoughts on that. It was kind of strange timing on that. And then talk about who is next to go. And then maybe some playoff chatter as well if there's time. So before we do dive into that, going to throw it back over to you. How it's going out in the great state of Western Pennsylvania?
Yeah, well, like you, it was time to pull out the beach umbrella, pull out the sunscreen, and enjoy a basking sun day in the sun. It was nice. It was actually a very nice, calm day. I've always said this to people, Evan. I don't mind the winter when there's no wind. The temperature I can handle. It's the wind. You can't really prepare for the wind. The wind will go right through you no matter how much you bundle up. And so it was relatively little wind today. The sun was out. It was still chilly. At times it was like 26. It did get up into the 30s, I believe, at one point. I know when I was driving around later this afternoon, it was like 28 degrees. But I can handle that with no wind. It's fine. But when you get that wind, that's the killer. But like you, a beautiful day out here. You know, a lot of NFL talk going on, especially out in Western PA. I know you and I talked on a little bit. The biggest story right now in football is these college athletes deciding not to play in the bowl game. You and I will touch on that tomorrow night, so make sure you join us 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central tomorrow night as we talk a little bit about college football and these players deciding not to play in their last college football game. But, Evan, we'll just start here with the Steelers against the Bengals. This is a game where the Steelers have always played well going to Cincinnati, and they took care of business, and now they've set up a showdown on Christmas Eve. Or is it Christmas? Christmas Day, with the Baltimore Ravens for the division title. So they are set and primed, and really we have like early winner go home on Sunday. It is, if the Steelers win, they're pretty much, well, they will. I mean, it's almost a done deal, which is very impressive for this team that struggled mightily. Like the Green Bay Packers just a few weeks ago. They went through their own struggles in a losing streak. But, Evan, what happens is now they're hitting injuries on the defensive line. Stephon Tuitt is out. Hayward is out. And so they're going to be without some big names on defense. Ladarius Green, who they signed as the big-time tight end to stretch the field and replace Heath Miller, is also in concussion protocol. Very unlikely he'll be ready to play on Sunday. So they've got some big blows against the Baltimore Ravens. And I've said it all year, Evan. I'm not sold on the Baltimore Ravens. I'm still sticking to my guns. But darn it, if the Ravens didn't hang around for 15 weeks. They're hanging right there. and they could prove me wrong if they beat the Steelers. What are your quick thoughts there on that AFC North and the Steelers and the Ravens?
I think it's the Steelers to win. I know, you know, you're talking about injuries that the Steelers are facing, but, yeah, like you, I'm just not really sold on the Ravens. The Ravens, I don't know if they're going to get a good pass rush on Ben Roethlisberger, and, you know, you got two over-the-hill defensive players as your top two pass rushers, and Suggs and Dumerville, and guys that are, you know, that have been spent more time injured recently, so... I don't know if they could get after Roethlisberger consistently. And then you got Le'Veon Bell, who has put up insane numbers against the Bills a couple weeks ago. I just don't see the Ravens defense being able to stop Baltimore. I really don't. And I think if the game turns into a high-scoring affair, I don't think the Ravens have the offense to hang in there, even with the injuries to the defense of the Steelers that you're talking. But I think it's the Steelers division to win. And I think the Steelers, to me, Troy, are going to be very tough out in the playoffs. You know, they faced a lot of adversity with the injuries to Roethlisberger and other issues that they've had throughout the year. And if I'm not mistaken, at one point, Mike Tomlin's name was showing up on the NFL hot seat rankings. And he's very quietly taken his name off of that hot seat rankings, and he has his team poised to make a deep playoff run. That's my thought on it.
Well, I had mentioned, it is so funny because I hail from Green Bay. Of course, I was born and raised there. I come to Pittsburgh. I've said this a million times. I think these two cities and the two organizations are mirror images of each other. As far as the blue-collar work ethic, and it's funny, you look at this season, and it's pretty much the same. You got two veteran coaches whose teams went into a little bit of a funk, and, of course, the fan bases are passionate in both areas. They get all irate. They want their coaches fired because they want to win, and now both of them are in a situation where they basically can control their own destiny. But you know what, Evan? You look at this week in the NFL again, and now you have Gus Bradley, a guy that we've talked about on this show, a Jacksonville team where you and I actually were pretty high on them coming into the year. It was a team that we thought was going to propel, take the next step, a team that had shown improvement last year, that was competitive. They weren't getting the W's, and this year just flat out not competitive. And Gus Bradley was relieved of his coaching duties after the game, with 2 weeks to go, and I know you want to talk about this, but what are your quick thoughts here? I mean, as the Jacksonville Jaguars underperformed all year, you knew that this was coming. As the wins weren't piling up, this was Gus Bradley's show-me year. Hey, we're going to turn the corner. I'm going to show you the improvement, the progress. We're going to make a run at the playoffs, not necessarily make them, but make a good run, maybe be around 500. But, man, Evan, they just pooed the bed this year.
Yeah. You know, the Jaguars, lots of talent. They went out and spent some free agents the last 2 years. It's looking like, you know, this is their year that they're going to jump out and surprise people. And for the Jaguars and their fans, unfortunately, it just wasn't meant to be. And, you know, that's why it fell on Gus Bradley and getting the axe because – in that situation, it falls completely onto the head coach. When you got the talent that they had, the GM got you the parts, and you can't do it, so it's time to move on. And that's what you saw in Jacksonville. And the timing's a little weird. You know, I was listening to Mike and Mike yesterday, and Adam Scheffler kind of explained it a little bit, which made it make a little bit more sense. But in reality, Gus Bradley probably should have been fired 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. But they kept him until now, and then they get rid of him. And Adam Scheffler was saying that they got rid of him now rather than wait till the end of the year because now they can start their coaching search. You know, before they got rid of him, could they have done their coaching search kind of behind closed doors? Well, yeah, they could have. But I guess they thought it would be disrespectful to Bradley to look for a new coach while he's still there. So that's why they decided to make the move, so they don't have to do it behind closed doors. And now the speculation on who's going to get the job in Jacksonville, and one of the names popping up is former Jacksonville coach, who's actually their very first head coach, in Tom Coughlin. And I think that could be a good fit in Jacksonville, because you look at the team, I think that's what the team needs. They need that authoritarian coach that's going to knock heads around and put some fear in this young team. I think that's what they need. And unfortunately, the question is going to be then, is Blake Bortles the answer? And unfortunately, when I say unfortunately, I don't think I have to decide, because this is going to be a very bad year for quarterbacks. The NFL draft, there's not really any quarterbacks that should even be a first-round pick, to be perfectly honest. That was probably going to be one or two that's going to go in the first round. But there really is not one or two that should be there's really not any that should be a first-round pick. This is a bad year for quarterbacks. And free agency, yeah, you're going to have potentially Tony Romo and Jay Cutler hanging around. And, you know, Jacksonville, maybe that's the role they have to go if they want to be playoff contenders next year. I don't think they need to rebuild. I think they got the young nucleus there. They just need a coach that's going to knock some heads around, and that's what they would get if they do bring Tom Coughlin back. And it'd be, I guess, a great couple years while you, like Tom Coughlin, will wind down his NFL career as a head coach, and hopefully start grooming the next guy. But it'll be interesting to see what Jacksonville does with their decision. But I know that's the name that's been thrown around a little bit too. And now the question is, who's next? And you got the USA Today, their hot seat rankings updated. You have Rex Ryan, who's up to number one, with number two last week, now that Gus Bradley's off of it. You got Marvin Lewis, number two. Todd Bowles, number three. Mike McCoy, number four. John Fox, number five. And Chuck Pagano, number six. I think John Fox is still safe. I really do. I think the Bears keep him for the fact that, you know, this is going to be a couple-year rebuild, and John Fox would be the perfect coach to work with this rebuild. Chuck Pagano, a coin flip. Could I see them keeping Pagano, Troy? Yeah, I can. Could they see them letting Pagano go? Yeah, I can. I'll be interested to see what they do there. But I think the top three, I should say the top four, Troy, are going to be gone. Rex Ryan, he's a guy that hasn't been in the playoffs since, I think, 2010. And the last time he was there, it's been quite a long time since he's been in the playoffs. And he hasn't done it in Buffalo yet. He had done it in New York for a while. You have Marvin Lewis. I think that's going to be about 5 years too late. I think Marvin Lewis should be going to be gone. He's been there for 14 years and has no playoff wins to show for it. You know, that's a team that's okay with being mediocre. That's what that shows. They're okay with being average, apparently. Todd Bowles, I like Todd Bowles. I think he's a really good coach. He's just been a little over his head in New York, and it's going to be more of a rebuild than they thought. It's not going to be a competitive rebuild, what they're looking for. It's going to be more of a rebuild. And then Mike McCoy, high expectations in San Diego, too, Troy. This is supposed to be San Diego's year. You know, it's thought that Oakland's a year or two away. Denver's going to have a slip up this year, unsure if what Kansas City is going to do. And this is supposed to be San Diego's year to kind of sneak in there. And San Diego hasn't, they've underachieved big time the last 2 years. So, you know, what's your thought on the potential of Tom Coughlin going back to Jacksonville? Do you think that's a good fit? And do you agree with me? Is Todd Bowles, Rex Ryan, Mike McCoy, and Marvin Lewis, are their jobs over?
Well, yes to all the coaches, and I'll throw my two cents worth in. Todd Bowles had a good year last year, and then you look at, you know, coming into this year, was last year a fluke? I mean, that's what you got to think about. And so the Jets have a decision to make. You go from one great year to one just putrid year. The thing is, you look at the record with Todd Bowles, and I don't think it's so much the record. I think it's so much the disgruntledness that's going on in this quarterback situation. I don't think they have a quarterback in New York. Don't need one. I do not see Tony Romo going to New York. I don't see that happening. So, Jet fans, if you wanted Tony Romo, I don't see that happening. But I think Evan Todd Bowles, it looks like there's a disconnect. I watched a couple of these games, and this team is just not very good. It's just not good, and it's not like they don't have any talent. I know that we've never been on the Fitzpatrick bandwagon. I never understood, this whole contract holdout situation. Kudos to his agent for getting him a payday, but you basically know what you're getting with Fitzpatrick, which is a journeyman quarterback. And I didn't understand why the long, lengthy holdout. The Jets were standing, and they kind of gave in. But they still don't have a quarterback of the future there. And Todd Bowles has not pointed that team in the right direction. It's one thing to not win and be competitive, and maybe you can point the finger to an injury here, an injury there, missed field goal there, more players, more depth here, and we're right there on the doorstep. The Jets aren't right there on the doorstep. They were after last year, and they took huge steps back, and that's a no-no in coaching. That'll get you out of coaching real fast. So I see him being gone. Rex Ryan, yeah, he's a speaker. He's a talker. He's a schmoozer, Evan. He'll keep hanging around, but I think the Rex Ryan luster has really kind of worn off, and I think you're going to see it around the NFL. I'm not sure if you see Rex Ryan as a head coach again. You could see him as a coordinator, and to be honest, Evan, I think that's what he needs right now. I think Rex Ryan, on the head coaching standpoint, probably is better. Rex Ryan believes he's a better coach than he really is. Now, as a coordinator, I think that he could do a hell of a job, but I don't think you see Rex Ryan in the head coaching realm again. And then I'll answer your question with John Fox. He honestly, I think, will be around. Now, he's a coach. He's a veteran coach that has done well in multiple arenas. And I think you need to have a guy that's going to put down a foundation, put down a structure. And he doesn't have much in Chicago. I think they give him another year, maybe even a year after that, so maybe two more years. And that's going to be kind of the Gus Bradley situation. Are you showing progress? Are you rebuilding this team? Is the franchise going in the right direction? And if that's the case, then, they'll move forward with it. I do believe Tom Coughlin would be a good fit in Jacksonville, Evan. But it's going to be up to the owners. What do you want to do right now? Do you want to bring in the wily veteran? Or do you want to bring in an up-and-coming guy? I think that team needs a veteran coach. I don't think you throw that job into the hands of a rookie coach. I think you need to bring in somebody that has experience, that knows what to do to lead that Jacksonville team in the right direction.
And, you look at the division that Jacksonville plays. You look at that division, and you see it's not a very good division. You got – Houston doesn't have a quarterback. Now it's the Savage show. Osweiler got benched in Houston. So that was a big waste of money. Indianapolis, outside of Andrew Luck, they don't have anything. Tennessee's up and coming. They're a year or two away from being serious contenders. This was supposed to be Jacksonville's year for the taking for the reasons I just said. And they didn't do it. So, yeah, I think a veteran coach is needed. I don't know necessarily for this Coughlin per se, but I do think that would be a good fit, and I think that's what they need. Another first-time head coach, I don't think is going to cut it. I think they need that splash guy, especially for the fan base, because this is a Jacksonville team that should be in the playoffs. There's no excuse why this team is not in the playoffs. There's really not. the only excuse is they just have underachieved the last 2 years, the last 3 years pretty much. And, yeah, I think we'll see if the team can start playing better with a more veteran coach. And Rex Ryan, yeah, he likes to think he's better than he actually is because for whatever reason, I don't know, he's just an arrogant prick pretty much. And his best bet would be going back to defensive coordinator position, but I think he's too arrogant for that. I think he still feels he should be an NFL head coach, but I think he needs to step away for a little bit and try to figure out what's best for him more. So, you know, with that, quickly, playoff standings. You got currently in the AFC, you got New England, Oakland, Pittsburgh, Houston, Kansas City, and Miami. Then you got Denver, Baltimore, Tennessee, Indianapolis, and Buffalo all in the hunt. Eliminated in San Diego, the Jets, the Jaguars, the Browns, who was eliminated even before week one, and the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think the playoff seeding is pretty much how it's going to be in the AFC, Troy. I don't see, obviously Kansas City and Oakland can flip-flop potentially in the 2-5 seed. And other than that, I think what we see is what we're going to get. I don't see, unless Miami stubs their toe in these next 2 weeks, I think what we see there is what we're going to get. I think Tennessee might be able to sneak in over Miami. But other than that, I don't see Baltimore because they deal a win. The Ravens are now 8-7. And the Broncos, I don't think, have the offense to do it. And in the NFC, you got the Cowboys, the Seahawks, a clinch playoff berth. Then you got the Falcons, the Lions, the Giants. And with Washington's loss yesterday, the Green Bay Packers currently the sixth seed at 8-6. You got Tampa Bay, Washington, Minnesota, apparently, New Orleans and Carolina still in the hunt. And eliminated is Arizona, Philadelphia, the Rams, the Bears, and like Cleveland, the San Francisco 49ers, who were eliminated back in the preseason. In regards to the NFC, if the Packers win out, they'll jump up to the fourth seed. I believe the Lions clinch a playoff berth if they beat the Saints on Saturday, I think, or Sunday. I think the Lions clinch that playoff berth. But outside of that, I think the NFC playoffs are pretty much set how they are. I think the Giants are secure at the fifth seed. I think the Lions or Packers, I think the Lions would be the sixth seed, Packers would be the fourth. And other than that, I don't see too much other movement happening. So what are your quick thoughts on the way the playoff seeds are right now? Do you think they're kind of locked up or how they are right now? Or do you think one of the other teams in the hunt is able to sneak in?
Well, Evan, you kind of let the cat out of the bag there for the Packer preview the next 2 weeks of where you're going with the prediction.
True.
You let the cat out of the bag. I'm not so optimistic about the Green Bay Packers, Evan. And the reason is the last game at Detroit. If that game was at Lambeau Field, I'd feel much more confident. I know Aaron Rodgers typically plays well in Detroit. If you remember, there needed to be a Hail Mary in Detroit last year. I just think Detroit plays well at home, and the Packers are going to have their hands full in that last week. Now, the best-case scenario is the Lions beat the Cowboys because that would – I don't want to say would give them – an ego, give them a big head, but I think a big win like that over the Dallas Cowboys, it might help the Packers. It really could. Maybe I know it's not going to be a letdown, but I'm very concerned about that last week. And the Packers have to take care of business against the Vikings, who have been in a whirlwind down the wrong way. But, you know, when I look at the playoffs, Evan, I want to say this quickly. We talk about the coaches on the hot seat. I mean, you look at some of these young coaches in this group, and there's a lot of coaches that have done great things this year. You look at especially Munchak and what he's done. quite surprising to me. I knew this team would be better. Who would have thought that they would be knocking on the doorstep for the playoffs with a chance to sneak in? I look and, you know, I know we'll talk about the coaches of the year later in another show, but you definitely maybe got to point your finger that way. And Tennessee has just quietly been hanging around, and all of a sudden they're in the playoff talk here at the end. But when you look at the AFC, outside of that Tennessee and that Miami seed, I think the Steelers take care of the Ravens. The game's at Heinz Field. It's going to be a big rival game, but typically the Steelers play well at home. But the Ravens, they've won at Heinz Field. But we mentioned it earlier, I'm not sold on the Ravens. I think the Steelers' offense is just too much in that game, and they clinched the division. You then take a look at, you know, that AFC West, and it's just a matter of can Kansas City catch Oakland again? Denver, I think, is just poo-pooed out. And I mentioned that Tony Romo not going to be in New York. I think you see Tony Romo, Evan, in Denver. I really think John Elway goes out, gets Tony Romo, kind of like what he did with Peyton Manning, to see if Romo can give him a little bit of a run. I think that's his landing spot. I think you see Tony Romo in Denver next year to try and rejuvenate an offense that has just been terrible, an offense that is terrible, a defense that is pretty good. They were riding their laurels, hoping that defense could get them where they needed to go, and I think they found out this year they need some resemblance of a quarterback under center. So I think you see Tony Romo in Denver. And then, you know, other than that, I mean, the playoffs, it's still going to be exciting to see the jockeying for positions across the whole NFL. And then, again, in the NFC, Evan, like you said, the Lions have a tough schedule. If they lose both games, you could see them out of the playoffs. And you've got that handful of teams, the Buccaneers, the Redskins, who are so inconsistent. They look like world beaters one week, and then they're just not good another week. But it's going to be an exciting 2 weeks for sure when we look at this NFL playoff season, and you're getting these teams that are now jockeying for position. But at the end of the day, it's the NFL, Evan, and you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you never know what will happen. That is definitely true. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, what happens from here. But, you know, I do gotta, you know, you gotta say that it's definitely going to be a fun 2 weeks of football. But now we get to move on to the Pooh Bet Award, and I was all set to give it to the officials. Because they had some crappy calls, especially in the Detroit-New York game, where they caught a catch to Odell Beckham Jr. and the ball obviously touched the ground. And then they caught Elliott for a 15-yard penalty for jumping into the Salvation Army kettle. So I was all set to give it to the officials. But Cam Newton, there should have been a flag caught on Washington last night. I get it. But Cam Newton flies late feet first, gets hit, and, he gets sucked, and he chucks the ball at the guy that hit him. Now, yes, there should have been a penalty on Washington as well, but there's no need for Cam Newton to throw the ball at the guy. That's not going to help your cause at all. And then that hat he was wearing, I'm not a fashion expert, and I don't really enjoy Cam Newton's fashion, but I don't know if you saw that hat he had on yesterday, Troy, but that definitely was not one of his better fashion choices. And I usually like Cam Newton's fashion, but that hat, that's got to go. So I give it to Cam Newton for the penalty that was very unnecessary, and then that hat. What about you?
Well, it was kind of one of those weeks that you look at it and do you want to go with a play and a Pooh the Bet Award play? I haven't really done the team award much but I am switching over now my Pooh the Bet award to the Minnesota Vikings, Devin. This is a team that started off with, like, gangbusters, and everybody was talking about how the Vikings were going to, you know, repeat as division champs, and they were going to pretty much run away with the NFC North. Then a bye happened, and all of a sudden, they have not been able to do anything right. And
there's
a
Tom Petty song about that, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. You know, they just, like I mentioned, they've been on a whirlwind on the wrong way, and they've been going downhill. And I know they had the early season injury to Teddy Bridgewater, but, you know, to be honest, you can't now use the season and say, well, if we would have had Teddy Bridgewater, not the way they started. They did not have Teddy Bridgewater at the beginning of the year. They started off strong, and it's just like all of a sudden they had that bye, and they've just not been able to find the mojo after that. And a 34-6 shellacking at the hands of the Colts. And the reason I give them the Pooh Bet Award, Evan, is the Colts defense is terrible, and they only managed 6 points. That, to me, is Pooh Bet worthy right there. The Colts defense is not good. The 34 points, the Indianapolis offense, a lot against a good Viking defense, but the offense, 6 points, that's just has to be total embarrassment. Against a defense, even with a mediocre offense, this Colts defense gives up yards, gives up points, and the Vikings couldn't do anything, which bodes well for Packer fans when you're looking at the game, because the will of the Vikings may be broken right now. I know there's talk that Adrian Peterson will play coming back. This guy, Evan, I got to give props to Adrian Peterson. I know we're in archive time, but holy cow. This guy just comes back from injury like he wasn't even hurt. I don't know why. There's a slim chance for the playoffs for the Vikings, but they're just, to me, that was the Pooh to Bet Award. But I know we're in archive time. Anything quickly for the fans before we let them go?
Nope, I have nothing to add. Just got to say, Peterson did play, he did return Sunday, so I think the shot of him playing is pretty high this on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see it. We'll see if there's any effects of the injury after, and apparently there's not. So, I mean, this guy just comes back, and he defies the odds and makes it bad for everybody else. Tomorrow night we got a great show, everyone. Evan and I are going to touch base on the biggest topic in sports right now, which is college football players opting not to play in the bowl game. Evan and I will give our opinion tomorrow night for our traditional Wednesday night Twitter talk. If you have any topics that you'd like us to talk about, find us on Twitter a couple of different ways. At Red Light Sports is the network account. At Evan Witt Sports is, and my personal account is at Troy Robert 967. So with that said, I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Join us tomorrow at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. For Evan Witt Allison, I am Troy Otradovic. Have a great night, everyone.